Greetings once again. Yeah, back at home. We normally say hallelujah, and then the church say amen. And then as the message gets louder and louder, the hallelujahs become louder and louder. And then the amens become louder and louder. So, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel 33, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. Ezekiel 33, 1 to 11. I'd have said, let's switch on our phones, because some of us have Bibles on our phones. That's the advantage of technology. Hope we are all there. Chapter 33. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. Chapter 33, verses 1 to 11. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if your transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your wicked evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Amen. Let us close our eyes in prayer. Our Lord and our God, I want to give you praise, honor and glory for this wonderful morning. You have brought us together in this place to worship and to praise you and even to hear your word. Father, I pray, as I've read your word, that is living, that gives life, you will encourage us from your word. We will hear you speak, Father Lord, through your word. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes and ears, Father, that we may hear and be willing to do what your word says. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you for your spirit who is here, who is with us always. Thank you because through your spirit, Father, You will show yourself up to us, and you will just speak to us in a special way. May name be honored and praised, even as I share this word. Encourage me and help me to deliver what you have impressed upon my heart over the past few days to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalms 103, the word of God says, "What shall I give back to God for all these good things that he has done to me? He forgives our sins and heals our diseases." And one of the verses that I love in this psalm, it says, God remembers that we are dust. He remembers always that we are frail and we are weak and we always make mistakes. He remembers that. So he's not always angry with us and he's ready to forgive if we are willing to forgive, to accept our wrong. We have read from the book of Ezekiel, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, right towards the end of the history of Israel, towards the very end. This time of history we are in, most of us here will agree with me that we have come to the very tail end of history. 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ himself, and the apostles proclaimed that we are in the last days. And that was 2,000 years ago. And now 2,000 years down the line, I strongly believe we are at the very end of history. And that brings this message clear to us. Because as individuals, as families, communities, and whole nations, and have come and continue to drift away from God. Back in the country where I come from, 50% of the population is under 17. And 25% are young adults. And the adults are only account for 25%. I've worked among the youth for the past 15 years or so. But there are very few adults that are taking the gospel to this young generation. And we are beginning to see this young generation slowly drifting away from the church. We still have them in the church, yes, but slowly they're going into the streets and doing stuff. And many of them are dying without Jesus. I would have been one of those if God was not gracious with me. Because 1998, when I was 22, almost a part of teenage years, I heard the gospel. And Jesus was very honest with me because I was living in sin. Anthony, if you don't repent, when you die, you go to hell. Which is very true. And this is exactly what Ezekiel is taught to do. Ezekiel was called as a young man. He was 25 years when he was called into the ministry. His name actually means "May God strengthen him." Ezekiel means "May God strengthen him." Because he lived in a time when he really needed a lot of encouragement, a lot of strength. Because he was born in a time of religious reform on one hand. At the same time, there was moral and spiritual decay in the nation of Israel. He was born at a time when God had completely declared that he is going to punish Israel and send Israel into captivity. He was born around this time.
As he was growing up, he was trained as a priest. So he was prepared to serve as a priest. But guess what? He never lived to serve as a priest. Because a few years after he went into ministry, Jerusalem was completely ransacked, the temple was completely destroyed, and there was no place for the priest to serve God. As a contemporary of Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and a few other prophets, he clearly understood and clearly experienced the love of God, at the same time, the justice of God. Because at this point in time, Israel was right at the bottom, and God had declared that he is going to punish this nation. And Ezekiel was called right at this point of history. So called when he was 25 years, a young man. Jeremiah was called a young man. As a person who has been working with young people, I fully understand why God calls young people into ministry. Because they have many years to serve God. Daniel was called a young person. Joseph was called a young person. Jesus started ministry when he was 30. He was pretty young when he started ministry. So are many other prophets. So Ezekiel was called at this hour of great need in Israel. So in 597, he was taken to exile alongside Daniel and his friends and many other people, able people. They were taken to exile. And then 5 years later, God calls him. And his call, from the passage, he's called not to be a priest. He's called to be a watchman. Completely different. In Israel, there were three key offices that were very important in the life of the nation. God set up kings who ruled Israel on behalf of God. So Israel was a theocracy. God called prophets who were spokespersons of God. So they spoke on behalf of God. And then God called priests who were intercessors for the nation. They represented the nation before God. So these three offices worked together. They complemented each other. Here is a young man trained as a priest to represent God, to present the nation before God, to carry the burdens of people before God so that people may be forgiven. And every year, priests would go into the Hall of Holies on the Day of Atonement. In the next 2 weeks, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus, Day of Atonement. So as a priest, he was prepared to do just that, to carry the burdens of the nation before God and seek forgiveness. But while in exile, God calls him to be a prophet. Hallelujah. So God calls him not to bring the burdens of people before him, rather to represent God before the people. Quite a reverse, isn't it? Yes. And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of God came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I said to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall be delivered. You shall deliver your soul. So he's called to be a watchman. As a person who had been in Israel and experienced the life in Israel, the moral decadence, spiritual decadence that was in Israel. As a person who was part of the moral fabric of Israel, he understood clearly what this was all about. As a person who was carried away to exile, he understood exactly what this meant. Because here he is in exile just because the nation has sinned. Who is a watchman? In the community where I live, every evening, I see old men passing by my house, going to work as watchmen. Almost every house in the city, there has to be a watchman to look out for danger, to look out for thieves. Almost every household needs some form of security. So watchmen in my country, very, very critical. We need them. I don't have one, but we need them. They're out there to look out for danger. A few weeks ago, I arrived in Scotland. I was so surprised. Your houses are not locked. You don't lock your house. You don't lock up your house. I'm like, what is happening here? What if? But then I discovered that you people have CCTVs across, around, everywhere. So, a watchman, in my day, in your day, in this country, is a CCTV for the nation. Yes. So, Ezekiel was called to be a CCTV for Israel, to look out for danger. And when he sees danger, he should raise the alarm, warn the people to run from danger. That was his call. As a person who was part of Israel, Israel had these walls surrounding it. I mean, Jerusalem had these walls surrounding it and many other cities. So watchmen were positioned right above the city so that they could see. So they had long sight. They could see enemies coming from far away places and be able to warn the people. We may also choose to call them weathermen and weatherwomen. Yes. Because they tell us what is going to happen tomorrow. What is weather going to be like tomorrow? When there's cyclone Idai, they tell us. Next week there's going to be cyclone Idai. Unfortunately, back at home, we had the warnings. But then we had nowhere to run to. There was no infrastructure to run to. So everything was destroyed. But what I'm trying to bring across is watchmen were very critical in Israel. And in our day, watchmen, very critical. Guess what? In our day, the Church of Jesus Christ has been called to look out for danger. Because very soon, Jesus is coming. And very soon, judgment is coming. Very soon, everyone will stand before before God's throne of judgment, and we will be judged. All of us are well aware that nations have completely drifted away from God. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to him who calls evil good, and good evil." We've come at that point when evil is being celebrated and good is being trampled upon. We have come in that season, we've gone into that season when the church is no longer relevant. It doesn't make sense to people. when faith, the living faith that we have, has been pushed into the private space. We have come to that situation when evil is louder than the gospel itself. And in many ways, the church has come to believe that the church has to stay quiet for fear of being called names. I've been called an idiot on the street. I've been called names. So Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. Now let's get back to the passage that we read. Ezekiel chapter 33. He has been called in chapter 3. In chapter 33, God repeats the calling. In chapter 3, actually, it was a time God called Ezekiel just before Jerusalem fell in 586 BC. I love history. In chapter 33, God tells Ezekiel, as a watchman, this is what I want you to do. Jerusalem has fallen. Now, wake up, stand up. I'm ready to forgive this nation that has sinned against me. I'm ready. I'm ready to receive back those that have strayed away. I'm willing to take them in. But that will not happen if you don't stand up and proclaim my word. So God says, Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, he blows the sword. If he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning. If the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God tells Ezekiel, I have called you to warn these people. Judgment is coming. Raise up the alarm. Warn them of their sin. And if they don't repent, they are responsible. And then God goes on to say, if danger approaches, and you don't warn them, you'll be accountable. And at the very end, in verse 11, God clearly says why he desires that this watchman should stand up and warn everybody about danger, about judgment that is coming. And God says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your wicked ways. Why should you die, O house of Israel? John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is what my faith is all about. It is abundant life. Hallelujah. This is abundant life. And Ezekiel is called to tell the people, turn back to God. God is willing to forgive you. Turn back, repent. God is willing to take you in. He is a father who is so loving, who is ready to receive back all the prodigal children. And Ezekiel is called to do just this in exile. It was not easy. But this is exactly what God called Ezekiel to do. Because God is not pleased when a wicked person dies in sin. I remember I was just 1 year old in the Lord. It was around 1999. One of my neighbors fell critically ill. And then I went to see him. As he was lying there,
dying. I had an impression that I should share the gospel to this dying man, but I just couldn't. He looked at me expecting that I will share something that will relieve him from pain. I will share something that will bring hope to him. I did not. And a few days later, this man died. And God reminded me, you should have told him the gospel. A few years later, my uncle fell ill. I went to see him. I was so naive to share the gospel. I went to the hospital to see him. And I could feel in my spirit I needed to share the gospel, but I didn't. And a few days later, he died. I've been on that road. I was supposed to raise an alarm, but if you've been living in sin, this is the right time to give your life to Jesus. He's ready to forgive you. I never did that. But our God is a loving God. I hope he will not hold me accountable. He has forgiven me because I repented. And then I remember around the same period, soon after these events, I went back to my village. I asked my friends. We went back to the village. We preached the gospel to the whole village. Because my passion was, I am saved, yes. If Jesus comes today, all is fine with me. But what about my family back in the village? What about my mother, my grannies? What about my brothers and my sisters? What about those people that I know? So we shared the gospel in the village and many people came to the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of our relatives, how many of our friends are still living in sin? But we've never gone back to them just to tell them God loves you and he is willing to forgive you and to receive you back. How many times have we missed those opportunities? As a church, King's Christian Center, God has positioned us right in the middle of the city. And God has created so many opportunities in schools, in the community. And people are still receptive. How loud is the gospel around from this place? How clear is the gospel allowed in this place? Because this church is a watchman. All of us are watchmen. Because very soon Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. And he does not want anybody to go to hell. He's willing to forgive. How loud is the gospel out there? How clear is the gospel out there? Because one of the characteristics or one of the ways that the watchmen were so critical in the city, the warnings were supposed to be loud enough for everyone to hear. When they saw see danger, they were supposed to raise the alarm loud enough above the noise of the city for everyone to hear. Because if he doesn't do this, God says, I will hold you accountable. And the alarm has to be clear enough for everyone to understand what the message is. We have come to a time in history when the gospel has to be loud enough because the world is getting louder and louder because of sin. We have come to a situation where the gospel has to be clear enough. If God says repent, we must tell people repent. Simple. It doesn't matter what they tell, what they call us. We've been called to do that. A week ago, I was privileged to be part of the street pastors in Aberdeen. I saw stuff on the street at night. And I was like, wow. But these guys are out there in the street at night, very compassionate, willing to share their faith, willing to reach out to these drunkards and drug addicts. This is what God has called us to do every day in, every day out. Hallelujah. I'm here this morning to encourage you, church, that together we stand up and raise the alarm
before it is too late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do we learn from this? It's clear. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wage of sin is death. And very soon, that will become real. And as a church, just like Ezekiel, God is calling upon all of us to stand up as watchmen, to stand up as watchwomen, to look out for danger and warn the perishing masses. Tell them, repent and believe. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love towards us, that whilst we were still helpless, he died for us. God loves those masses. He loves them. And he desires that they should come to faith in him before it is too late. He loved the world so much so that he gave away his son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in his son should have eternal life. We have been called to preach that message. How are we doing it? And how faithful and committed are we to this message? To this life-giving message? Just imagine, if somebody didn't come across your life, my life, to share the gospel, where would you have been now? May God help us. May God help us, for it is appointed for man to die once, and thereafter, judgment. There's no second chance. And before it is too late, let's stand up and share the gospel. Many ways that God has called us, let's share the gospel loud and clear enough. So the church has been called to do just that. Blow the trumpet, preach the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Do the work of an evangelist. We've been called to do that. We have been called to preach the word in season and out of season. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't listen, our role is to preach. God's role is to turn around people's lives. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming very soon. Revelation 22 is coming very soon. And his coming is near. So through this passage, in this passage, God assures each one of us and the world out there that he is ready to forgive. And if they are willing, if we are willing, we can stand up and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. There could be somebody in this room who has been wondering, asking questions. You are down there and you think God cannot forgive you. God is here. He can forgive you. He did it with me. He did it with everybody. He can forgive you. You are here, been wondering, how can I serve God better? Just take a step of faith and begin to share the gospel. God will be there and will support you in every way. Jesus says, Lord, I am with you all the way. I am with you. He is there. Hallelujah. Don't fear. Just stand up, take a step of faith and share the gospel. We are watchmen for this nation. We are watchmen for this world. Let's stand up and preach the gospel. Let's be Ezekiels of our day before it is too late. May God bless you as we continue to meditate upon this word. Hallelujah.